5, text number 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dakshayana samshrinuta. Dakshayana samshrinuta. Gadato nigamam mama. Gadato nigamam mama. Avichanupadavim. Avichantanupadavim. Bratrinam bratrivatsalaha. Dakshayana samashrunat shruta. Gadato nigamam mama. Avichantanupadavim. Bratrinam bratrivatsalaha. Dakshayana samshrinuta. Gadato nigamam mama. Avichantanupadavim. Bratrinam bratrivatsalaha. Gadato nigamam mama. Avichantanupadavim. Bratrinam bratrivatsalaha. Matajis? Dakshayana samshrinuta. Gadato nigamam mama. Anvichantanupadavim. Bratrinam bratrivatsala. Dakshayana samshrinuta. Gadato nigamam mama. Anvichantanupadavim. Bratrinam bratrivatsalaha. Nasam shrinata. Gadato nigamam mama. Avichantanupadavim. Bratrinam bratrivatsalaha. Dakshayanaha. O sons of Prajapati, Daksha. Samshrinuta. Please hear with attention. Gadataha. Who am speaking? Nigamam. instructions. Mama, my. Avichata, follow. Anupadavim, the path. Bratrinam, of your brothers. Bratrivatsalaha, O you who are very much affectionate to your brothers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O sons of Daksha, please hear my words of instructions attentively. You are all very affectionate to your elder brothers, the Hariyashvas. Therefore, you should follow their path. Purport. Narada Muni encouraged Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons by awakening their natural affinity for the elder brothers. He argued them to follow the elder brothers if they were at all affectionate towards them. Family affection is very strong, and therefore Narada Muni followed this tactic of reminding them of their family relationship with the Hariyashvas. Generally, the word Nigama refers to the Vedas, but here Nigama refers to instructions containing the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nigama kalpatayor galitam phalam. The Vedic instruction is like a tree of which Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. Narada Muni is engaged in distributing this fruit, and therefore he instructed Vyasadev to write this Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, for the benefit of ignorant human society. Anarato pashanam sakshat bhakti yogama dokshaje lokasya janato vidvamsh chakre satvata samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore learned Vyasadev compiled this Vedic literature, which is in the relationship to the Supreme Truth. Bhagavatam 1.176. Therefore, people are suffering because of ignorance and are following the wrong path for happiness. This is called anartha. These material activities will never make them happy, and therefore Narada instructed Vyasadev to record the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadev actually followed Narada and did this. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme instruction of the Vedas. Galitam Palam, the ripened fruit of the Vedas, is Srimad Bhagavatam. So in line with the theme of the sixth canto, Srila Narada Muni, he is bringing up the importance of protection to the sons of Prajapati Daksha. Protection is something which is very, very essential to all living entities. It is an important part of our lives, especially those who are engaged in a household activities. They always worried about how they are going to be maintained, how they are going to be protected. And as such, it is one of the major topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Much of the sixth canto is devoted to that aspect. So protection is very important for the living entity, because by nature the living entity is one of the innumerable shaktis of the Lord, or the female potency. The nature of the female is to be under the protection of the male, or the supreme male, Krishna. So here, Narada Muni, he, seeing that father, Prajapati Daksha, is not giving an adequate protection, he comes in and tries to point out what the real protection is. It is not that Prajapati, he is not trying to protect his sons. He is a good father. He knows his duties. He knows the duties of his sons. He is known as Daksha. In fact, he is an expert. He's not like sometimes we think of Prajapati Daksha, of a guy with the funny god head. He is Daksha because he's a great expert. There is no other materially qualified living entity which can equal his expertise. He knows what the protection is. He knows what are the various duties of the living entity. He's very, very expert. He's very learned. He understands it. That's the reason why he becomes a primary or one of the main Prajapatis or progenitors of this universe, because of his qualifications, and not by a chance he won a lottery ticket and then he became a Prajapati. No, because of his extraordinary material qualifications, he became Prajapati. So one of the most qualified or materially qualified living entities in the universe. So he's trying to do his best by his sons and offer them protection. And his idea of protection is that his sons will follow the rules and regulations of the Shastra and by that become well situated. So why does Narada Muni come and disturbs that process, as Prajapati thinks? Well, the reason is that in his quest for protection, Prajapati Daksha, he is encouraging his sons to take shelter in fallible soldiers. Sanyeshu Astu, the term used in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, my dear sons, you take shelter of your family, you take shelter of your wife, you take shelter of this body. But these different elements which he's encouraging them to take shelter of are all fallible. In the time of the greatest need, in the time of the greatest danger, they fail us. And we see so many stories when we really need help, then there is nobody to help. We all have that experience. And here specifically the greatest danger about which Srimad Bhagavatam talks about is at the time of death. The greatest danger for the living entity is death and the consequences of that and what happens to us in the next life. We have very, very little control over that. So he is encouraging them to take shelter in this material nature, which is fallible. And that's what Narada Muni is trying to remedy with his instructions. So although we all see that material nature is fallible, we see people having a temporary protected situation and then it all ends, we all see it, but we cannot realize it. The term pasyana pina pasyati is used in Srimad Bhagavatam, that we see it all around us and we registered it with our senses, but that's where it ends. We still have enough faith in material energy to believe that in our case it's going to be different. So this is due to the lack of atma, tattva, or spiritual understanding, and due to anarthas, as Srila Prabhupada talks in this purport. And anarthas are often equated by Srila Prabhupada in his purports to ignorance. The lack of spiritual knowledge is the primary cause of anarthas. So that's what's happening in this case. Daksha is trying to protect his sons and he's encouraging them to follow the scriptures and follow the duties, but his understanding of the scripture is incomplete. There's still some anarthas in his heart and in the hearts of his sons. This proper understanding of Shastra is given by the Supreme Lord himself in Manusmriti. The Lord says that the rules and regulations of Varna Ashram system are meant to protect and elevate human society. But due to material desire, Prajapati Daksha, and through his associations, his sons, they fail to perceive this very obvious fact. Therefore, Narada Muni comes and tries to point out that, look, your understanding is incomplete. There is a lot more to life than simply begetting children. So, it is not the Shastra which is a fallible soldier. It's not that Manusmriti or other Dharma Shastras or the Upanishads or any of the scriptures are fallible. It is our understanding and our approach to the scripture which makes us fallible. The scriptures come from Achyuta. Achyuta means infallible one. So Shastras are perfect, but due to ignorance and anartha, we perceive something different. We don't understand the true purport or meaning of the Shastra. So generally speaking, what Prajapati Daksha is encouraging his sons to do is to follow the path of Karma Kanda. The path of Karma Kanda is a path which is described in the Vedic literature, whereby following the rules and regulations of the Shastra, we acquire pious credits. And we hope that this piety will protect us. However, because the anarthas are not completely removed from one's heart, we tend to make mistakes. Srila Prabhupada explains that even the most pious person will commit sinful activities as well. There will be a time when you will make a mistake and commit a sin. So after that, the general system of the Karma Kanda is that we perform some punya, then we make some mistakes, we commit some pap, some sin, then we do some prayaschita, we do some atonements to become purified, and then we again make some punya, and then we again make some mistakes, and then we again perform some prayaschita, and the cycle goes on and on. So that's one of the processes which a conditioned living entity takes up, the path of Karma Kanda. Another path very popular among the conditioned living entities, that of Jnana Karma. Jnana Karma, Srila Prabhupada explains, in itself is a process of prayaschita, or atonement. As far as atonements are concerned, the most important point of atonement is not performing the activity itself, but understanding of the wrong doings that we have committed. Right? I don't know, if somebody makes a mistake, or your child, or your friend makes a mistake, and then he comes and gives you a gift, but in his mind, he does not understand that he has made a mistake, that won't be very satisfying, that won't really fix anything. The understanding of what was the difficulty which caused that situation, and understanding of how to act in a way that will not cause future problems, that's what's essential. So Jnana Kanda, such section of the scripture focuses on developing that understanding of who we are, what is our position in this world, and becoming purified by it. But unfortunately, or fortunately actually, because if they will be all perfect, then we will get stuck in the Karma Kanda section or Jnana Kanda in the section, and we will never develop interest in the devotional service. So fortunately, there are many problems with the path of Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. The main difficulty is that those processes, they do not remove bijakuta, or the desire for material enjoyment. It is only the process of bhakti which is able to remove material desire. So therefore, those processes are inadequate. It is, Srimad Bhagavatam gives this analogy of an elephant. He takes bath, he becomes very nice and clean, squeaky clean, or sandpaper clean, and then he comes out and he throws sand at himself straight away. So this is because of the nature of the elephant. He likes to have the sand all over him. So the nature of the conditioned entity is to become controlled by the material desire. We can't help it. We like it or not, as long as the material desire is there, we're going to engage in material activities. And as a result of that material engagement, we will become contaminated. We will develop various types of anarthas. And the problem with it is that at the time of death, then those anarthas, those mistakes which we have committed consciously or unconsciously, will drag us into the ocean or the cycle of samsara. And that's very dangerous. That's why the death is considered to be the greatest danger in life. Because while we are alive, we have some control of what's going to happen with us. We made a mistake, okay, well, I will fix it, please forgive me, this is the last time. And we try to rectify ourselves. But at the time of death, it may happen that due to our anarthas, we may lose the human form of life and take birth as an animal. And in animal form of life, there is no opportunity for prayaschitta, there's no opportunity for sadhana, there's no opportunity for hearing spiritual knowledge. So therefore, it is considered a very, very dangerous preposition to take birth again. So Narada Muni, through his instructions, is trying to save the sons of Daksha from that danger, from taking birth again. Time immemorial, we have been in this material world. It's a very, very long time. So when we fell again into the cycle of samsara, this is, may take another time immemorial. And time immemorial is a very long time. One does not have to be a quantum physicist to understand that this is a very, very long time. So falling into the material ocean means we can be stuck forever in the condition, state of life. So bhakti yoga has the power of removing those desires for material enjoyment. And the reason why it has the power to remove those desires is because it actually gives one satisfaction. And not an ordinary satisfaction, we know, like when we eat a good sweet or have a good fun. It is a satisfaction which reaches the soul. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that Bhagavatam is Galitam Phalam, or is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literature. Other Vedic literature may satisfy our other needs, material needs or semi-spiritual needs. But only Bhagavatam can satisfy all the needs of the soul. And when you satisfy it, there is no desire for sin. There is no desire for material enjoyment. So Vedic literature is referred as Chaturdasha Vidyasthana, or there are 14 books of Vedic knowledge, and Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of this literature. Meaning that those various vidyas, those various shastras, they are able to fulfill various desires and various needs of the living entity. But Srimad Bhagavatam brings the ultimate good in the, and the ultimate protection to the living entities. Scriptures are also known as shastras. Shastra means a weapon. So it's shastra, following shastra, taking shelter in the shastra, protects us, naturally protects us. But there are limitations which different shastras have. So Bhagavatam is beyond all limitations. It brings the ultimate good and ultimate protection to the living entity. So Narada Muni, he is a very, very expert. He is known as Devarshi, and Devarshi means the sage amongst the gods. So there are many sages, Vasishta, Vishvamitra, Atri, they're just rishis, they're just sages. Means you take a crowd of people, and then amongst them there will be a few individuals who will be a lot wiser than the rest of the cloud. That's called a sage or a rishi. Then, beyond our realm of existence, then there are different demigods and great personalities such as Brihaspati, Varuna, Indra. So Narada Muni, he is a wise sage even among such learned and qualified personalities. So as far as a material qualification and material learning is considered, he's the most learned person in the entire universe. There's nobody as learned and as qualified as Narada Muni. In fact, that's what makes him spiritual master of Srila Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of Vedic literature. Well, he is very qualified. He wrote down, he codified all knowledge available in the universe, but he lacked some understanding, and Narada Muni, through his great learning, he helped him to overcome his dissatisfaction, and he actually gave him a real shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So Narada Muni is not just a person from a spiritual world who does not know how to deal with the material nature and who does not understand the needs of the Prajapatis. He, you know, his specialty is Krishna consciousness, spiritual stuff. Let the expert in the material field, like Prajapati, deal with the material field. It's not like that. It's not like we see in the Hindi movies, Narada Muni, with the little, looking a little, having the little space out look. He doesn't really appear like he knows what's going on. Narada Muni is the most qualified sage in the whole universe. So he understands very well the problems the living entities are facing in this material world. So therefore, sometimes this term Bhakti Anuchana is used in regards to Narada Muni. And Srila Prabhupada in 7th canto explains that actually, and I'm quoting here, if one properly understands God, he can understand any subject matter very nicely. So what it means, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, and what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, that one who understands the transcendental teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually understands the material knowledge better than the materialistic person. So, since he's such an expert in understanding the conditioned nature of the living entity, he uses his knowledge and he encourages the Shavalashvas, the sons of Prajapati, to the means of a material understanding. He understands in the family, the relationship between family members are very close. You know, what your father or your brother or somebody else does or says naturally means a lot to you. It's a lot more than some strangers. We have a natural tendency to follow our friends, our brothers, our family members, because we feel affectionate toward them. He, understanding all the different scriptures, all the different shastras, he knows it very well. So what he does, here very Prabhupada says, he uses a tactic. He says, look, boys, you love your brothers very much, and your brothers are such a wonderful personalities. Why don't you follow in their footsteps? And this is a very, very nice way of instructing somebody. There's a very nice a bridge, a link between the conditioned consciousness of the living entity and the transcendental consciousness. Yoga means two things are linked together. There has to be a means, there has to be something which connects them together. So you have this material attachment, the good sons, they want to follow the instruction of the father, they love their brothers, and there is a transcendental spiritual existence which is far apart from a material concept of life. So how do you combine those two? Here Narada Muni shows a very good example. He says, look, you love your brothers, you follow the good example. You take up spiritual practice. This is how you're going to honor your brothers. So, this is something we see very much in our Sampradaya, since this is a line coming down from Narada Muni. Srila Prabhupada, when he talks about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he often portrays him in that light as such an expert. In one place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that even the greatest Indian scholars, they were afraid to discuss with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples. They were not comfortable even talking to his students. So what to speak of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a vast learning and understanding of how this world operates. Similarly, Jiva Goswami, he manifests this ability to connect a material or spiritualize a material knowledge and make it into a most Krishna conscious, a precious gem of knowledge. For example, Srila Prabhupada talks about his book, Harinamamrita, Vyakaran. Grammar is not spiritual. I don't know, maybe some shock for some people, but grammar is not spiritual. It's not much to do with spirituality. Generally considered to be quite a mundane or secular subject. You study the grammar. However, in his work, Harinamamrita Vyakaran, he made it very, very nice and very interesting and very Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada says that if you study his grammar book, Harinamamrita Vyakaran, you will learn grammar, you will become an expert in the material field of grammar, and at the same time, you will become an expert devotee. That's the ability of a Vaishnav to bridge, to connect matter with spirit. So where is that ability coming from? Well, the ability comes from discrimination. Discrimination is the opposite of ignorance. Ignorance means we can't discriminate. We don't know right from wrong, back from front, and so on and so forth. We have some difficulties with seeing things properly. However, discrimination means we can differentiate between different things. That's one of the basic functions of intelligence, discrimination. So a devotee, he's expert in discriminating between spirit and matter. And in the terms of scripture, since this is something Srila Prabhupada talks about in this purport, then discriminating between the scriptures or shastras which deal with material knowledge, which deal with economics, social development, ethics, etc., and transcendental scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam. So they have a very, very clear understanding. That's what differentiates an advanced devotee from a less advanced devotee. Advanced devotee, he very clearly says, this is matter, this is spirit, this is a material activity, this is a spiritual activity. In the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, this is not so obvious. We have difficulties differentiating. We need practice and we need a good guidance. So the paravidya is the transcendental knowledge. A paravidya refers to these different scriptures like grammar, Vedangas, Upangas, Upavedas, books which deal with different types of knowledge which are required by civilized human society. So when they connected to paravidya, they, when they connected to Krishna consciousness, they are considered to be a paravidya, just like what Narada Muni takes here. He understands social interactions and he takes them and connects them to Krishna. And this is knowledge, he has knowledge. But when we fail to make that connection, it becomes avidya, it is ignorance, and it will cause our fall down. So why do they have this ability? Where is this ability coming from? The Narada Muni practice very hard, the technique, okay, material, spiritual, material, spiritual, and he went and he attended some courses and etc. He passed the exam, bang, he was approved, and now he's Devarshi. He's got the title of Bhakti Anuchana, and all the other scholars, they take their heads off and say, please instruct us. It's not like that, because we're not dealing with mundane knowledge. He has that ability because he has drunk the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Other scriptures we study. You open the book, you read it, you analyze, you synthesize. But Bhagavatam, you don't study. Bhagavatam, you drink. Pivetu Bhagavatam. So he has drunk the nectar of Krishna consciousness. So from that ability comes, from the taste. For him, it's not about knowledge, it's about the taste, where his heart is. So that becomes very natural and spontaneous for him. So we see Srila Prabhupada, he also has this ability. There's many nice stories which illustrate Srila Prabhupada's ability to do that very much. There is a story in Prabhupada's Lilamrita where one devotee, Nanda Kumar, he was one of the devotees in the temple, and Prabhupada visited the temple. I exactly don't remember, maybe some of senior devotees recall the location. They were there, Srila Prabhupada was there, and Srila Prabhupada said, okay, how he would say, I'm not sure, but he said, please go bathe in the ocean. So they followed the instructions of the spiritual master, and they were going to the ocean, and it was a beautiful sight, nice sun, cool breeze, beautiful ocean. So it was really, really nice, heaven. So this devotee, Nanda Kumar, he recalls that at one point he became a little bit bewildered. He says, my spiritual master, his duty is to help me become free from my tendency for sense gratification, but here I'm going and just enjoying the nice sunlight, getting a little suntan, and swimming in the ocean, having a good time. So he came to Srila Prabhupada and explained his bewilderment, and he says, Srila Prabhupada, how can I remember Krishna? I'm just having a good time. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, well, Krishna is the sun, Krishna is the taste of water. How can you not remember Krishna? Krishna is all around you. So this is the ability an acharya like Srila Prabhupada has. Another example, famous example, is with Graham Hill. He was a famous racer, car racer. And the devotees in UK invited him to visit him, and you know, they were just talking, and they just had a little chit chat, you know, very nice and light conversation going on. And when he became a little comfortable with Srila Prabhupada, then he disclosed that sometimes when he rides the car, then he feels that death is just a hair breadth away from him. He has this near death experience, because we're talking late 60s, 70s, even today is a very dangerous sport. So Srila Prabhupada immediately he picked up that feeling, and he explained about the nature of life and death, and introduced him and instructed him very nicely to a transcendental philosophy. So that principle of connecting, of spiritualizing a material attachment is a very, very, very important, because in spiritual life we need to stand somewhere, and we need to start somewhere. And this, by the mercy of the acharyas, it doesn't matter where that somewhere is. Whatever our position in life is, it can become perfect by listening attentively to the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and his followers. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, as you were describing about the anarthas we are facing, so when situation is favorable, is it easy to deal the situation, but when we face the adverse situation, then anartha comes out and we become offensive. So in that situation, how we can save ourselves?
So the question is that we are aware of anarthas, and we are aware that anarthas are not good, but when they come out, we sort of entertain them and we still commit offenses. So what should we do in situations like that? Situations like this, there is no easy and quick remedy, because just that's the very nature of a conditioned soul, to think that we are controllers and enjoyers. And as such, we are superior to the living entities. And in thinking that you are better than others, then we generally put them down and we commit offenses. So it requires some introspection, and it requires to follow the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, where he says, Trinada Pisuni Chena Tarora Krishna. What is the gospel? We have to become humble and tolerant, and then naturally, even when the anarthas come, we will not entertain them, we will not offend anybody, because we think, oh, how can I offend him? This is something I can learn from him. But when we think we are better than other people, then that creates a problem. So as long as this mentality of this Purusha Abhiman, thinking that we are enjoyers and controllers, are there, we are going to commit offenses. That's why these paths of karma and jnana, they're not very glorified, because, okay, I'm following my sadhana perfectly, I'm doing everything right, etc., etc. But as long as this material concept of life and material desire is there, then there will be a situation that we will jump on it and we will try to rule and enjoy the material situation, and then we will commit offenses. So we have to give up this attachment to jnana, to karma, and become attached to the topics of Krishna consciousness as illustrated in Bhagavatam. Then this problem would disappear naturally. It's not like we need to do anything special. This is what Narada Muni is saying. Well, just take up spiritual practice and all auspiciousness, you will be protected in that way. Yes, sir. Prabhuji?
So previously, when Narada Muni was instructing the Hariyashvas, he broke their affection to the father. He said, you don't really know who your real father is. The real father is the Shastra.
Yeah.
And so here we see he's encouraging family affection to the brothers.
Yeah.
So there's a saying, all's fair in love and war. So my question is all fear in making a person a devotee?
Well, very good point. It is all fair as long as we do make a devotee at the end. And it's all fair, the end justifies the means. We all heard it before. Actually, it's one of the principles given in the scriptures as part of the Artha Shastra principles, that if there is a worded goal, then whatever it takes to attain the world is justified. But in order to be able to do that, we need to have some expertise, because it's not like after Narada Muni is done with his preaching, then the father is fried, the sons are fried, and everybody else goes and joins another mat or something like that. Yeah, they sort of say, he knows what he's doing, he's successful. He knows when to push and when to break and when to comfort. You know, this is an art how to do it. So he knows the art. Every science has the arts side. So he, besides being expert in shastras, he's also expert in 64 arts. So he knows how to apply it in a way that actually gives a good result. So when there is need to be strict, he is strict. When there is need to be affectionate, he is affectionate. So that's something often we hear Srila Prabhupada's disciples glorify Prabhupada, that he could be like a Bengali mother and like a tiger, or like a rose and a thunderbolt. When needed, he becomes the harsh or strict. That's what sadhu does. They're not always pleasant. It's not the duty of a sadhu to be the most pleasant and amenable person in the universe. Well, it's not possible, because if he tries to perform his real duty, which is to break living entities' attachment to material nature, then some unpleasantness will come, because there is no nice way of giving attachments. Well, it just doesn't work like this. We all, not all, I'm sure not all of, but many of us wish there would be a nice way of giving up the attachment. You just take it, and every day is more and more pleasant to become relief from attachment, and then one day you just reach this stage of total ecstasy, and then you wake up the next morning and you are free from attachment. It just doesn't work like this. When we work on this anartha nivritti, then it generally becomes more and more difficult until we snap and we say, okay, Krishna, you take care, I can't do it anymore, I can't fight it anymore, and we surrender, then Krishna takes care. So, you know, when it's needed, he does it. And when it's needed to be nice and affectionate, he's nice and affectionate. So it's just a nice human quality he manifests. Okay, thank you. So I would like to end now, because it's already late. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Madhavatam Ki Jai Samaveda Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Jai Nitai Gopi Manandi Hari Hari Bhakti.